You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Before we get into our program tonight, I want to read you a gift from Jim that was presented to me, I guess about 2 weeks ago. I'm going to read it to you. He gave this to me in a very nice frame, and I will certainly cherish it. It's entitled A Patriot's Prayer. And it goes like this. Father in heaven, forgive us from falling away from your teachings because of greed and riches. Help us again as true Christians to reaffirm our faith in God. And with the help of your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and is my true Savior, help us again restore our Bill of Rights and our Constitution to our once great nation. And again, voice our Declaration of Independence against the New World Order. Help us in the coming fight to destroy the secret societies and mystery schools of Babylon, so we can once again live free and in peace as Christians, and for the love of my God Almighty, amen. That's the depth of the man who's going to be talking to you tonight. Don't go away. Ready, folks. I hope you have your pen and paper by your side. You've had your prayer, and you've had your marching music, and now you're going to have your schooling. Jim, if you'd like to start where we left off and get right into the meat of the matter, and we'll try to get what's left finished so that we can take some calls.
Okay. Folks, one thing I want to get straight is that I don't know it all. Nobody does. We get help from everybody around. We all contribute into the militia group. And like I say, no one person knows it all. And we come up with a lot of ideas, a lot of things to do. I've had some people call in and talk about clothing, the proper clothing to wear. Well, you know, everybody doesn't have to have woodland camo. We don't use woodland camo all the time. OD green is fine. In your selection of knives, big Rambo knives are useless as far as I'm concerned. People that collect knives, have them in your collection is fine. For practical matters, a short skinning knife, one or two good pocket knives are very good out in the field, and that's about all you need.
The important thing is that they cut, right? And they cut when you need them to cut, and they're easy to take care of and will hold an edge.
Yes, there's a lot of good quality manufacturers out there, Schrade, Buck, Camulus, Western. There's all kinds of names out there. Here again, you'll have to go and trust your good friend down there at the local sporting goods store and gun shop as to your needs and what would be best for you. In a militia unit, I wanted to get to that. As you guys and gals get together, have yourself a mechanic in your unit. Get a person that is a paramedic, and then all of you learn first aid. Have a person that is a Mr. Fix-It. I know a few of these type of people around the country. You can hand them just about anything that is broken, and they can get it fixed and get you going. You want to have a person in radio communications that can help you no matter what type of radio systems that you might develop in your unit, anywhere from a 2-meter band to FM to CB units. You need some type and establish some types of radio communications. There's different specialties out there. Everybody has their own type of specialty, whether it might be cooking out in the field, food preparation, through weaponry, and how to make a comfortable base camp, make it more comfortable that you're staying in. So there's everybody has their own specialty that can be used when you're out in the field. So another thing that you want to do is contact or get copies from your own state of the state constitution. Read it and get hip on the militia end of it and start getting your units formed out there and have your equipment gathered and know where it's at. Have it in proper order. Have gasoline handy. Keep a full gas tank. You people that are in urban communities, know about where you're going. Know how to leave the city if you have to leave the city for some reason. Just take a look on TV and look at those people over in Bosnia that have nothing. You have a chance to put things together now and get prepared for what if you didn't have anything to eat, you needed to make a shelter, and you needed medical supplies. Think ahead a little bit, not only for possible, you just got to look out for all possibilities of trouble and disaster.
Now, they could have stopped what's going on in Bosnia a long, long time ago, folks. It's being fueled by the same people who claim that they want it to stop. It's really not difficult to stop a war that's confined in an area like that. You just cordon it off and don't allow anything in or out. And very quickly, supplies dry up, ammunition runs out, people get hungry, and they have to come to the table. This is a manipulation, and they're calling it ethnic cleansing. Those of you who think that I've been stretching the truth when I say that there are certain targeted populations to be literally exterminated in the future, look at Bosnia and then define ethnic cleansing. The definition, ladies and gentlemen, is genocide. They are attempting to eliminate systematically an entire population of people that they just don't like. They don't like their race. They don't like their religion. And remember, it is one of the targeted groups that I've mentioned on this broadcast. They are the followers of the Prophet Muhammad. Now, we talked in the earlier broadcast about rifles, pistols. We talked about ammunition. We talked about reloading. And I know you want to get a little bit more into that before we begin taking calls. So why don't you go ahead and address that now, Jim, and then we'll open the phone. And for those of you out there who don't know the number, it's 602-333-2174. Now, don't start calling until Jim gets toward the end of his discourse, because I'm not going to answer the phone until then. It's 602-333-2174.
Okay, on reloading, let's get back to that. If you're going to start reloading or have some idea, check out where you can get brass. Check out your local stores. Make some phone calls. Line up the brass that you're going to need, whether it's 38 special, 357, 9mm, or 45. Get bullet molds. Stock up on some bullets. There's a lot of pre-made cast bullets out there by various companies. Excuse me. And they're good quality. They're moderately priced. Stock up on some powder. Like we said earlier in the program, things are getting in short supply. Not to panic you or scare you off, but things are getting short. A lot of manufacturers, they say they can't keep up with the demand. I have some question of that in my own mind pertaining to so-called weapons that are in short demand. So think ahead, get supplied, even your medical supplies. There's many discount stores that have quantity boxes of 4x4 nonstick gauze pads, 3x3s, cling gauze you can buy in a six-pack for wrapping wounds and things of this nature. Band-aids, antiseptic creams, peroxide, alcohol. You can buy it in all these discount stores at a good price. So get yourself a big chest, something like the old military footlocker, and start putting spare supplies in there. Methylate, iodine. You're going to need all of these items sooner or later in any type of a disaster situation. Take a look in California. If a lot of those homes would have had supplies, they could have helped each other a more great deal than sending everybody to the hospital. They could have performed a lot of first aid to the neighbors or families on the spot by just having a few extra essentials around, extra blankets, extra food. Here they didn't have nothing to eat. They couldn't get it in. If they would have had a little food storage, they wouldn't have had a lot of the problems that they had. So just think ahead a little bit of what you're going to need.
Now, if you don't think things are really bad, folks, when this happened in the San Fernando Valley, a lot of absolutely ridiculous things began to take place. Everyone who lived in Northridge, and I mean everybody who lived in Northridge, received a check for $3,400 from the government without making any claims. Most of them had no damages, no injuries, didn't need the money. However, it was sent to them without their asking for it or filling out any forms or anything. They're not obligated to pay it back. If they accept it and cash that check, it is, in fact, a form of a trap, and they can be pinned to the wall for that later. So if you're listening and you received one of those checks, you better take a word of warning. You better not cash it, and if you did, you better find $3,400 and send it back immediately. Also, we found out that people standing in line waiting for food stamp relief, waiting for welfare checks and all kinds of things, were actually told by government people exactly how to fill out the forms so that they could not be refused. Illegal aliens, who were obviously illegal aliens, who had no identification, who were not citizens of this country, were coached on exactly what to say when they were asked if they were a citizen of the state of California or if they were a United States citizen, and how to fill out the forms. Our people were down there watching this process.
They saw many people go through, fill out the forms, go back and get in the line again and go through and fill out the forms as many as three or four times under different names each time, all claiming that they'd lost their identification. And at those addresses that they gave, there's going to be three and four checks showing up for as long as they're entitled to get this kind of relief. People were not thanking the government for helping them. They were demanding that the government help them, support them, give them a new house, give them a new job, rebuild their business. If you don't think socialism is coming, and if you don't think there's people out there who are begging for it, take a little trip to the San Fernando Valley in the Los Angeles area and see for yourself, folks. This nation has gone from a once proud platform defender of the rights of man to the depths of almost absolute depravity. Now, that's not everybody, of course. It never is everybody. It never is the Jews. It never is the blacks. It never is ever everybody, folks. So don't get that impression, but we are on the edge of a precipice. And we're going to have to wake up and pull it all back together, or it's all going to be lost to us. Now, for those of you who missed the earlier program, I'm just going to recap just for a few seconds. Then we're going to begin taking phone calls, and you'll be able to address Jim and ask him whatever questions you want, and he'll certainly answer them. We talk in general terms. A militiaman needs a pistol. A militiaman needs a rifle. A rifle that can hit a target consistently, that is accurate, at a range of 500 yards or more. It doesn't matter what you call this rifle. It should have the least number of moving parts. It should be able to stand a lot of abuse. You should be able to get parts for it now and stockpile those parts for a time when you might need them. And you need to practice with that rifle and learn how it works. You need to learn how to disassemble it and clean it and reassemble it in the dark if necessary. You need to learn how to shoot using, quote, Kentucky windage, unquote. And, folks, you got to understand that all these people that are teaching you all this baloney about you need to get an automatic weapon is sheer idiocy. You give me five good men that can shoot straight and hit their target when they shoot, and I'll trade you all the automatic weapons in the world for those five good men. And I mean that sincerely. Also, when you go to these spike trainings episodes and they teach you how to run out and get killed real quick, and you're learning how to fight hand-to-hand with a double-edged knife, I don't want you anywhere near me. You better stay way, way away from me. Because, folks, nobody who gets that close to the enemy is going to live in what's coming. Remember, they have the technology. We do not. We have to fight a sustained guerrilla action if and when a hostile power invades and occupies the United States of America. We will have to use our brains, and you will not find anyone rushing into battle holding a knife in his hand with any brains in his head. So bear that in mind. In fact, you better think about that a lot. We talked about ammunition. What type of ammunition you need to have. Whoever the enemy is, whatever type of ammunition they use, you should have a weapon, and you should use that same ammunition, because sooner or later there will become a time when the only source of ammunition is from the enemy. We talked about reloading and reloading equipment. Now, you're not going to learn the nuances and the fine details and all of that stuff from listening to any radio broadcast. You're going to have to find the experts in your area, taking with you the important points that you learn from the hour of the time, bearing in mind that other people may have different ideas, and you may have to weigh those different ideas. Remember, when your life is in the balance, you don't want to take the word of anybody. And the motto of this show is don't believe anything that you hear or read unless you can prove it in your own research. Remember that also. But you must act. You must prepare. You must listen to programs like this. You must seek out the experts in your local area. You must build a militia. You must be very wary of people that you don't know when you're doing it. We are going to open the telephone now and take your calls. The number is 602-333-2174. Please keep your calls brief because this is the last night that Jim's going to be here. He has to make an awful long trip to get back to his home. And so I know your questions are important. Make them brief, to the point, and Jim will answer them. We'll try to get as many people on the phone and as many questions answered as possible. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
This is Steve from New Jersey. First, I'd just like to say that...
Steve, first, you need to put your mouth right in front of your phone, and you need to talk a lot louder. We can barely hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
That's much better.
I just want to say that you're doing America a great service and waking the people up. I'm middle-aged, and it took me a long time to wake up, but I have. And I was a scout sniper with 1st Battalion, 5th Marines in Vietnam, and we have a small squad size unit here now. And we opted for Soviet block calibers, 7.62 by 39, mostly because of the cost factor. And the Dragon all 7.62 by 54, and we're trying to pull our money together to get a 50 cal for long range sniping. And I just like to say that I appreciate what your guest had to say. It was very informative. And one comment I wanted to make was that you mentioned brigade quartermasters in U.S. Cav the other night. And they're both fine outfits. I've got stuff from both of them. But there is another company that has most of what you'd be looking for in 782 gear and such. At significantly less cost. They don't have a fancy catalog or anything like that, but their prices are good, and I'll give that number if you're interested.
Sure, go ahead.
1-800-654-4795, and they're out in Oklahoma, and they're good people to deal with.
That's 1-800-654-4795?
4795, yes, sir.
Okay, what's the name of the place?
Charlie's Militaria.
Farley's?
Farley.
Okay.
Farley.
Okay, thank you very much. Did you have a question for Jim?
No, sir. I just like to say I agree with everything. The only thing I would like to ask is what size units does he think that we should keep this thing at? Like I said, we have a small squad size unit, but how big should we get or how small?
Jim?
Well, it depends on your location and how many good interested parties you have. You might want to break it off into several different squad sizes, and it's easier to work that way rather than have large numbers that are out in the view, you might say, of the other side. So you're better off working in the squad size just like you're doing now and multiply your squads.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Remember, to fight a guerrilla action, you need small units that can appear and disappear quickly. You have to know each other and trust each other with your life. If you try to put together a large unit, you're not going to have time to get to know each other, and thus sometimes someone's going to fail you. I can't stress how important it is. Also, there has to be a leader. Everybody agrees as the leader. Because when the proverbial chicken scratch hits the fan, folks, you can't stand there and argue with the leader. If he tells you to do something, you've got to do it. That's just the way it is. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim.
Yes, go ahead.
Is it possible that if I leave my address there that you can tell me where you're located?
Forget it. What are you, some kind of a clown?
No.
Go back to bed. Don't call with this stupid stuff. I'll read you out in 10 seconds flat, folks. We've got no time for this. This man's life is on the line. And if you think you're going to call up and you're going to get his address or phone number or name, you're well, forget it. I don't want to get my blood boiling here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to suggest snipers for people that can't get into a group or don't trust others, that there's some good books in Delta Press on U.S. sniping training. And I thought that that would be a good way to go for people that have to stay small.
Yes, that's true. But also, you got to watch your mailing list and what you order. There's books that you can get through surplus stores, technical manuals on sniping also, which is a good one. And if you can visit your local good Army surplus store, Army Navy store, they have these books available. And myself, I don't like mailing lists. Thank you.
Also, along those lines, I think you're absolutely correct. If you can't find anybody you can trust, then you shouldn't trust anybody. And that would be a wonderful way to go and still be able to be effective. Also, stay tuned. Next Monday night, we're going to be talking about that perfect weapon for that kind of thing and how you can assemble the parts and put it together in your own area yourself.
Well, good. I sure appreciate your show. Thank you.
You're welcome. 602-333-2174 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Turn off your radio right
Bob.
Now.
Hey, Bob. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
One tip. Don't forget the gas mask with the toxic filters.
Oh, that's right. We were going to talk about that, weren't we? And we forgot.
Yeah, it tends to be neglected in service.
Well, we're neglecting it, too, right now, and we should have talked about it. But right in a nutshell, we've already decided on what's inexpensive, what works, and what's been proven in the past and is readily available to anybody that wants one. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Going back to a gas mask, we have tried the Israeli gas mask, and it works real well. A lot of times you're not going to be able to get tear gas to test your mask out. Get yourself some banana oil. Now, what you want to do is take a coffee can and cut a couple of holes in the bottom of it and put a candle on the table and have it upright. Place the can on top with the vent holes and put a few drops of banana oil on it. And I guarantee you, you'll know if your gas mask is working or not. These new Israeli gas masks, I've seen them anywhere from $12.50 to $19.95. The filters, depending on what you're using, will last 45 minutes to an hour. It's always best to have two or three spare filters. They're approximately $4.25 in cost.
And don't forget to purchase plenty of extra spare filters. And study the chemical composition and the effects of a gas called BZ, a chemical called BZ, which has been stockpiled around the country and was manufactured specifically for use against civilian insurrection. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a comment. I wanted to, well, two comments. One, gun shows are an excellent source for books. A lot of the gun shows out here in California have sniper books and all types of things that you can buy right off the table, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. So that's a good source also. And definitely do not get your name on a mailing list. Number two, in terms of forming a militia, my suggestion, and I don't know if this has been brought up because I didn't listen to the earlier show, but I would strongly suggest that people form a militia with 4 to 6 of their closest friends. And from there, those 4 to 6 friends will form a separate group, like spokes in a wheel, but no one in the lower group will know who is in the upper group. And then each group will form their own 4 to 6 all the way down, so that just in case something happens, they would not be able to get to the top group that is directing the whole thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, at least not quickly. That's exactly our recommendation. I've recommended many times that you should not have anyone in your militia group that you have not known all your life.
Right. Right.
I realize, and many of you realize, that there's a lot of you out there who have never known anybody all your life. Some of you haven't known anybody for more than 2 years at a time because you move around so much. And you're going to have to deal with that. I don't know how you're going to deal with that, but you better be very careful.
I strongly suggest that people do not get involved with joining these militia groups that are springing up all over the United States and putting your name on a list. For Christ's sake, they're going to come after you. And I think that there are a lot of disinformation people out there that are starting these militia groups, and just don't get suckered in.
That's right.
They'll come after you first.
That's why we're telling you to form your group in your area with people that you know. They must be small groups that are willing and ready to fight a sustained guerrilla warfare for maybe many years.
Yep. God bless what you're doing.
Guaranteed, folks. Good evening. You're on the air. Well, it looks like they hung up. Okay. Try it again. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. How are you today? Calling from New Jersey.
Hello.
Yes, my name here is Tom. Just real quick, how long do you honestly expect the United States to be normal and stable economically and socially and politically? What is your personal opinion, sir?
Well, it's not just my personal opinion. CAGI has done several studies amongst the members of the organization, and our learned, our educated guess is that we have until about 1996, if we have that long, and we're already into 1994, to be able to get ready, because within that period of time, we expect some kind of movement against the patriot community. We also expect that the sheeple of this country and the world will begin to demand that guns be taken out of the hands of the American citizens.
Already starting with Willie Clinton.
And they're going to be doing that. We're also seeing some of the people who have attended spike training are already being raided, and their papers and guns are being confiscated. This has happened two verified cases in Florida and one unverified case in another state, which we're in the process of checking out.
Who can we look for knocking on our door or the big movements? Is it going to be Democrats? Is it going to be the National Guard? Is going to be certain groups of people? Who should a normal, average American patriot like myself be most scared to?
Well, don't be afraid. If you're afraid, you got no business being free. Don't be afraid, folks.
Scary is the word.
Yeah,
should be wary, most wary of our government, our local government, the feds, the FBI, ATF.
You have to be wary of anyone who is in this socialist establishment. They will, in fact, have already formed the law enforcement agencies of the country in sort of an unofficial national police. Many of the local police forces, city police forces, have been federalized already. They've been issued black uniforms that has a red federal emergency police patch on it. About the only ones who have not been absorbed into this are the county sheriffs.
Okay. Listen, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. I have a question concerning should everyone in their group try to stay with the same caliber, or should you or could you mix it up with, let's say, for instance, 762 NATO and
556 NATO. Okay, it depends on the individuals what they've already purchased. You know, both side our side has 223. The other side's going to be using 762 by 39. You should have a sufficient quantity, preferably 1,000 or more rounds for each weapon. To include your sidearm. So that way you have a little stored ammunition, and if you run out, just grab somebody else's rifle and go.
Well, I'm in a situation where, thanks to Mr. Cooper and some other people, we have awakened early enough to start stockpiling things. And I have the ability to equip a sniper rifle, a semi-automatic 7.62 NATO rifle, and a 5.56 rifle. And I'm trying to wonder how if that would be an acceptable mix.
Well, sure. As long as you have sufficient quantities for each one. If you run out of one, you got the other, which is good thinking.
Not only that, but ammunition will be readily available from the enemy if it comes to that and you run out. If you have something else that you wouldn't have that. I think you've got a good mix of weapons, my own personal opinion. You've got three different weapons that fit three different purposes, and that's good.
And one of the things that we have discussed and thought out, and in fact your show has kind of brought out our thinking, was that the distance fighting is the way to do it. And if you're...
That's the only way to do it, against technology.
If you're fighting within 200 yards, you're dead meat.
That's right. All these clowns going to spike training, learning how to fight with a knife. You know, sometimes I wonder, where do these people come from? I mean, they deserve to be rounded up by gripes, in my opinion. If they can't use their brain and think, they've got to be some kind of wannabe Rambos. They go to too many movies, I think.
Well, you see what they did in Desert Storm. Our troops and everything are trained to do their combat at 200 yards or less in terms of the infantrymen, and they rely on pieces of equipment and helicopter gunships to do their fighting at longer distances.
Yeah, and very few of them can shoot a rifle
right
and hit their target.
Well, even if they can, what they're issued now is a little light at 500 yards.
Let me tell you something. I was in the military, and I know a lot of friends who are still in the military, and rifle range training has always been a joke. It's still a joke. If you want some inspiration, go read about Sergeant York in World War I, and you'll understand exactly what we're talking about. That was the machine gun war, and he took a whole German contingent prisoners and killed the rest of them with a single-shot, bolt-action Springfield rifle. And they had machine guns and the whole might of the German army, and they ended up surrendering to him because he was the only one out there on the battlefield that every time he fired a bullet, it hit what he shot at. And every time they even wiggled a finger, he saw the movement, and he shot one of them.
Yep. Well, I live out in the country, and we've got our own range, and we practice.
Well, don't just practice. Get so good that you even shock yourself.
Well, I practice at golf balls at 100 yards.
Good for you. But you got to get out beyond 500 yards, my friend.
I know. That's one thing that's been concerning me. Well, thanks a lot for the information you've provided so far, and we're going to work on our part.
Good. And don't forget to listen next Monday night when we're going to tell you how to build a weapon, a legal weapon, legal and lawful weapon, any place in the country that'll let you reach out way beyond 500 yards. The only thing that's going to limit you is your own ability to see. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, William. This is Warren, Mississippi. I've been listening to you and enjoy the program a lot. I would like to know if there's some kind of book like maybe the French Underground that explains their operation, because you know very well that Gestapo tried their very best to locate these underground people. Is there any good books that you could recommend?
I don't know of any books that were written by the French Underground that are available to anyone.
And for whoever, you know.
But we are going to be talking about tactics and forming units and procedures, and we're going to be letting you know the names and titles of books that we do know about that you can get your hands on.
It's obvious that you're going to have to run deep and run silent. So I look forward to hearing it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're going to have to do more than that, folks. You're going to have to build an intelligence network. You're going to have to build civilian resistance teams. You're going to have to build active militia, guerrilla units. You're going to have to be able to maintain political control in your area, and you're going to have to enforce and keep order amongst the civilian population that is not taking place in trying to save the country. It's got to be done. And you all, every one of you listening, are responsible to do it. Without any further instruction or admonition, you are responsible. Good evening. You're on the air.
God bless you, sir. Thank you for your show.
Thank you.
Two questions. 200 yards, will an SKS rifle fit that description?
Yeah.
And second question, I know you're concerned about security like, well, I am and people should be. How do you anticipate in the future militia units around the country networking and working together? And I'll hang up and listen on the radio. Thanks.
Well, my advice about networking together is don't do it. You take care of your local area. You maintain political and civilian order and control. Fight the battle in your area with people that you know, and everything will come together when it's all over. But I'll tell you, with all of these people in the secret societies that are, whose goal is to bring about the New World Order, who are controlling most of the Patriot units and organizations in this country today, if you want to take the chance, I think you're taking a risk that you should not ought to be taking, but you're going to have to make the decision yourself. Jim, about the SKS rifle.
Yes, your question on the 200 yards, that's no problem. We've been out and we can shoot open-sighted 350 meters with no problem, and it still has enough get-up-and-go out there to do damage, so I wouldn't worry about 200-yard shots. That's a piece of cake.
Okay, the number is 602-333-2174. Remember, folks, make sure you form your militia unit legally under the law. Make sure that you do not break any laws. If you do, nobody else should have any mercy upon you because you'll bring discredit to all of us. You've got to do it clean, legally, and lawfully. The law is on our side. We are fulfilling our oath, our obligation, our allegiance to our Constitution. The enemy is destroying it. Everything is on our side until some stupid idiot thinks he's Bobo Gripe. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. My name is John. I'm calling from Los Angeles. I called you last week. We discussed a little bit about my time in the military and how the philosophy in the military, how it could be detrimental to our country. I've got a couple of points I want to express to everybody listening out there, also to you, and you may agree with this. And also, I have a question, if you can answer for me, on the black helicopters you've mentioned in your show.
Well, now, wait a minute. We're trying to use the knowledge of the guest that we have tonight because he's not going to be here again.
Oh, no, but I would like his opinion on this as well. Both opinions if possible.
Well, we've talked about black helicopters in the past, and that's not the topic tonight. We need to stick on target. So if you got a question for him, he'd be happy to answer it.
Okay. There's a book that was made back in the 1950s called The Naked Communist. And inside they give some of the goals on the breakdown of our society and eventual takeover. One of the points to bring up is the breakdown of cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. And I believe we've seen that now. They've fully, I said 100% taken that over, and I'd like both your opinions on that. And I'll just hang up from here. Thank you.
Jim?
Well, they have done that. You can even watch a lot of breakdown on TV. They're going right according to plan of what that book has was written in it. And there's other things that go along with that. Also, the breakdown of our churches and politicians.
And I might add, folks, that what do you think the odds are that the only man in America who has his penis sliced off is named John Wayne, and his last name is Bobbitt. Bobbitt in the English language means to cut off. I think somebody out there is laughing hilariously. I think John Wayne Bobbitt wears this innocent look on his face like nothing ever happened to him, and I think it's a possibility that nothing did. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear. Yeah, on the surplus equipment, I've found that around a lot of military bases, you can pick up some pretty good combat gear at shops outside, like Marine Corps or Army bases, for anybody that's interested. And on weapons for your guests there, what's a good close combat multi-shot shotgun? Can you get drum-fed semi-automatics?
There is a drum-fed semi-automatic on the market. I've heard pros and cons about the weapon myself. Myself, I carry a 12-gauge Remington shotgun with an extended tube. It has 8 rounds to it. That it's hard to beat. I try and stay away from any semi-automatic shotguns because a lot of times you might not have enough high base to activate the mechanism, and you might only have low base, and a pump gun will shoot them all. I've had semi-automatics fail on me before. I don't trust them myself. So any of your good-made pumps are a real fine weapon to have.
Also, if you get that close to where you have to use a shotgun in combat in what's coming, your chances of survival are not very good. You should have something for that scenario, but you should do everything possible never to allow yourself to get in any within any close distance of the enemy. Good evening. You're on the air.
Three devices I want to ask about. The affordable imported night binoculars that are being imported from Russia, silencers, and a device to analyze the stress analysis of voice.
Well, first I want to tell you the silencers are illegal. You must do nothing illegal, period. Anything that you do that's illegal is going to come back on everybody. Now, if you decide to do something illegal on your own and you want to keep it quiet, I advise you not to, but that's going to be your decision. We cannot give you any advice on anything illegal. The other questions, Jim can answer for you.
Okay, pertaining to night vision, there's several on the market. One comes to mind is U.S. Technologies. They have binoculars. They have single lenses, some with infrared, some without. There's a multitude out there, and you'll see them advertised anywhere from $499 up to $4,200. It all depends on what a person is looking for. I personally haven't tried them all. I've tried a couple of them. They seem to work, and that's all I can advise you at this time on that type of glasses.
You do want to stay away from active infrared. A lot of these glasses have an infrared radiation device on them for seeing in the nights when there's no stars. And I'm going to tell you right now, all of the military forces of the Soviet Union, the United States, and several other countries have passive infrared detectors that almost every soldier carries. So make sure that you don't fall into that trap.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Now, remember, folks, when you call in and ask questions, I hope you're not doing it on purpose to try to trap us. We're not that silly, and I don't think that gentleman was, but for us to be able to continue to educate the American public and continue to be the voice of those who really care, we cannot, and you cannot, do anything that can even remotely be interpreted as illegal. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Yes, I have two quick questions. Regarding the Mini 14, is that good for the 500-yard range, and does that use the 223 ammo? And as far as long-term food storage, what would you suggest as far as grain storage for long-term? I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, for grain storage, you want to get a hold of rice, pinto beans, whole wheat, stored in 5-gallon containers, 1-gallon dry packs. You can use nitrogen to preserve it. The same thing with noodles, macaroni, spaghetti. Use nitrogen. Also, there's another way of packing that if you don't have nitrogen available. Just take, get you some clean 5-gallon buckets that have a good seal on top. Place some plain salt, about an inch, in the bottom of your bucket. Fill it halfway up with your product. Put a couple of bay leaves in the middle of it. Proceed to fill up the bucket. Put a couple more bay leaves on top and cover it. Bugs will not live in salt or bay leaves, so you can hold your grains for quite some time that way.
You know, we did offer food storage products through the Hour of the Time and through CAGI, but not one single person took advantage. Not one single person bought one can or one of anything. Nothing, period, over quite some period of time. And so we stopped handling it. Now, all of a sudden, people are calling us wanting to know where they can get food storage. I'm going to call Jim Newman, and we may provide it again. I haven't made that decision yet, but I will tell you this. When we had it before, you could not buy any food storage products in this country cheaper than what we had it here for the listeners, the Hour of Time, and for CAGI members. It just amazed me that everybody all of a sudden wants food storage, and when we offered it, nobody wanted any. And now they're going and paying a higher price than they would have had to pay through us. That's amazing. That just really gets me.
Back to your question on the Mini 14. It's a .223 caliber, standard military, 5.56. No, I would not recommend it for 500 yards.
The key is Mini. Get the maxi. Does that answer your question? I guess he's gone. 602-333-2174. We have time for maybe one or two more calls. So if you have a question, get on the horn right now because the line is open. 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
I have a couple of questions. First, I think I might have missed this program that you did after the closing about what kind of personal gear you should carry.
Well, that was on that that two nights, or two shows on that Thursday night, yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, I couldn't pick it up, so that would be the second hour, right?
Yes,
uh-huh. Okay. Well, my question then to Jim is, you probably covered that already. What kind of compass, what's a good compass to have, and another big question I have is, how much water should we carry? How many canteens, what sizes, things like that? And I'll get off the line right now.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, question number one on compasses. The Victorinox Swiss Army compass is a good one. Britton Compass Company makes a couple of real good compasses with directions. And the Military Lasmatic compass has always been my favorite. Those compasses, you can get land nav books there at your surplus store or your camping store. They have them. And so those are real good ones there. Water storage, there's a lot of ways of storing water, but to carry it, you can carry anywhere from 2 to 4 quarts with you. It should last for a while. Train yourself not to guzzle down water, especially when you're overactive and you're overheated. You can get yourself a little bit sick there. So just sip on the water and don't guzzle it down all at one time.
Good evening. You're on the air and you're the last caller, so make it short and sweet.
Okay, Bill, the guys that carry the OT-6 that are hard up for ammo, they can convert to a .308. By using a insert developed by the U.S. government. And they're $15. You just stick it over the 308 shell chambered in the .30-06 and fire it, and it forms to the chamber, and then you can use .308 ammunition. They're available from Idaho Surplus Sales in Boise, Idaho. And the telephone number is area code 208-378-1727. And there's only one. The only drawback to that is that if you buy some of this foreign ammunition, it won't chamber in a .30-06. You have to resize it in a die to get it to fit because they don't manufacture foreign 308 ammunition to the same specifications that we do.
Well, I thank you for that information, and I know you're right because Jim's sitting here shaking his head up and down in the affirmative. So that's good. For those of you who didn't get the number, it's 208-378-1727. And that's something that we all needed to know. I didn't know that. You've made a great contribution. Thank you very much. Folks, it's that time again. I want to encourage you all, call our sponsors. Thank them for sponsoring this program. Mention my name, William Cooper. Ask for all the free newsletters and written material that you're entitled to as a listener of the Hour of the Time. And make sure that you take steps to purchase some precious metals in whatever form that you feel is appropriate for you and your family. But you must do that. There will come a day when that will be the only thing that anyone will recognize as value. And if you don't have some of it, it could cost you your life. Good night, and God bless you all.
Built a little bit, a little tiny infrared emitter in the front lens of that.
Well, you can see it. You can see it with another one. See, I got two different types.
Yeah.
I'll check mine out from looking at each other ones.
Carolyn, where's that bottle of scotch you've been hiding? Been with the CDs? Yeah.
Oops, somebody's calling.
Who it could be.
Oh, no. several people